Hey guys, Frosty from The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions here, reminding you that Extra Life is just right around the corner and will be hosted on November 5th of this year. Extra Life unites thousands of players around the world in a 24-hour gaming marathon to support Children's Miracle Network hospitals. Since its inception in 2008, Extra Life has raised more than $22 million for local CMN hospitals. 2016 is a special year for Extra Life, for gamers will have the chance to play for 25 hours straight as opposed to 24 hours straight to help raise money for sick children. If this is something that interests you, go to www.extra-life.org. You can either create your own team or be a part of Proving Gamer's team. Just search for Proving Gamer and join the team today. And together we can help make a difference. Again, that's www.extra-life.org. What's up, everybody, and welcome to The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions. I'm one of your hosts, Frosty, and alongside me, the outlaw, Nate Nilsson.
I like that. I want to be called the outlaw. How's it going, guys? You may know both of us from previous podcasts on provengamer.com. Looks like we're finally back. We're finally back in business. Talk about video games and give you something fun to listen to that's not trophy related, right? Is that too much of a jab at Trophy Wars?
No. This is something I've actually talked to them about before. You know, I was never really big into trophies. Now here recently, I've been a little addicted to trophies, just getting into it. You know, I think it comes in spurts, right? Like, I'll get a game I get hooked on, and I could care less about the trophies. But then I'll get like a cluster of games where the plat may be very attainable, and I'll just go after it, and I'll have a blast doing that. Then I'll become uninterested again in about a month. So,
see, an attainable plat for me is like, it. I get it by playing the game.
Yeah. So like King Kong.
See, I did what I do. I like the fucking the Telltale games. A lot of them you get platinum for beating them. I actually really enjoy that. You know, getting a platinum first for beating the game. Because it just makes my life a lot easier. But I've gotten a few that were like, okay, you know, I'm like one or two away. Let's get it anyway. But, you know, that's one thing we're not going to talk about, trophies. That's the only time you're going to hear about trophies on this podcast. So, you know?
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, maybe not. So, real quick, just so you guys know, since this is the first episode, what this is going to be is going to be, basically, we're going to talk about video game, but we're talking about it in a little fun way. We got good news. We got bad news, and yeah. We got microtransactions, but we're still going to be doing, like, you know, the usual, what have you been playing, talk about kind of games that are coming out, and all. Obviously, we're starting this thing right in the middle of the big video game season. I know Battlefield 1 just came out this week, Titanfall 2 is next week. We're going to always talk about the new games, like anything we're playing, all that stuff, and then we'll get into, you know, more topics and more detail as we go along. I'm not trying to keep this thing too long. Probably want to stay around an hour most of the time. If we go over and it's really good, then we're totally fine with it. But we want to make sure it's interesting and fun for you to listen to, and there's not too much. What's the word I'm looking for when you go off topic? What's the word for what I'm looking for?
The rabbit trail.
That we're trying not to do that. I mean, it'll happen because that's just who I am. If you've listened to my old podcast, Prex Likes to Win, you know, we go off topic, but we don't want to go too far off topic. We want to make sure we can kind of stay precise and, you know, create something that's fun to listen to. And if you like video games, you're in the right spot. You should keep listening.
Kevin Ryan Fouts on our Facebook group asks, what is this about and where will it be going? What do you hope to achieve with this podcast? And that's an interesting first question for our first episode. You know, we got Trophy Whores. They're very PlayStation-centric podcast. They talk a lot about trophies that they attain throughout their gaming. And it's funny because we actually recorded an episode today. We talked a lot about the Nintendo Switch because Tricky didn't want to, so we made them, and it was great.
Switch! Like that Will Smith song.
Yeah. you know, then we had Remember the Loot, which became very news-oriented in the beginning and then kind of became like a friendly, goofy, topic-centric podcast. Proving Gamer even has a wrestling podcast. Nate, I know you love wrestling. That's your favorite thing to watch.
I still don't understand the Money in the Bank thing. So no one's explained that to me. That happened. Apparently, there was a WrestleMania thing here where I live, and someone cashed in a Money in the Bank and automatically won. And I was like, that doesn't seem like that's fun to watch.
It doesn't seem fair at all.
Yeah, I understand. I like football, and I don't think you see like a team cashing in a check that all of a sudden makes them the winner of the game. But yeah, I don't know anything about wrestling. I just know that it's awful, according to Jeff Gerstmann from GiantBomb.com.
But it's funny because you know, I grew up watching wrestling, but you know, as I got older, I kind of got out of it, and I've been in it, you know, in and out occasionally, just for fun. Like I get invited to a friend's house to watch WrestleMania or something. I'm like, pizza and wrestling and friendship, sure, I'll do it.
Friendship,
friendship for everyone. But the thing I find, you know, most funny is a lot of my friends that are like diehard wrestling fans always rag me for liking football, and I'm like, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Exactly.
But then, you know, when your favorite college team starts sucking, then it's kind of like, oh, okay, well,
trust me, my favorite college team is Stanford, so I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, like, where this thing's going to go, I honestly couldn't tell you. I just wanted to create something that was like Press X to Win, but something new and different. Obviously, I wanted to be on it, and I wanted to bring someone who's already been on a podcast for Proven Gamer, and so I brought in Daniel, Frosty. What do we want to be called? We're gonna set the name straight. Do you want to be Daniel or Frosty?
You can call me Frosty. Everyone calls me Frosty. That's a nickname I've had for a very long time.
I'll be Nate. That's fine. I'm fine with Nate.
The outlaw
Nate. Exactly. But I mean, I just wanted to create something fun, and we both agreed to do this, and it seemed fun, and we're just gonna wing it. You know,
just wing it.
Wing it. Enjoy it.
We hope to be entertaining and informative. You know,
yeah.
I love covering the news. I cover a lot of press releases and news for ProvenGamer.com. This is a Proven Gamer podcast, so be sure you go to ProvenGamer.com and check us out for news, previews, and podcasts, including yours truly, The Good, The Bad, The Microtransactions, and their flagship podcast, Trophy Horse. So,
and make sure just to go on Facebook and, you know, send us messages if you want to ask questions and all that stuff. You know, obviously this is the first episode, so we're not going to, you know, answer a lot of questions, but we totally are always down to answer questions and all that stuff. It's fun to have reader mail and whatnot, but without further ado, what have you been playing? We're going to call this something fun eventually, but for now, it's what have you been playing?
Yeah, that's what everyone calls it. So I just finished Shadow of Mordor on the PS4. I downloaded it digitally a while back for like $10. It's a funny story. I went into GameStop and I had Shadow of Mordor and I had Alien Isolation in my hand, and I was like, you know, they're $20 a piece, and I was like, I want to buy one of them. Which one do I buy? I was like, you know what? I'll put these back. I'll wait. And literally like 2 weeks later, they were on flash sale digitally, $10 each. So I jumped all over that. But the cool thing about the digital sale with Shadow of Mordor is it came with all the DLC. So I jumped into the game after putting it off for a few weeks, and it's WB Studios. It plays very much like Batman, same controls and everything. This open world, you got all your side missions, and you got all your goons you can beat up and kill. You even get a cool ability later where you can control them and command an army. It's neat stuff. But I beat it. I got the platinum trophy in it. Like I said, you know, I'm not huge into trophy hunting, but it was a lot of fun, you know, going back and just getting 100% in the game. To be honest with you, I had more so wanted to just get everything in the game before even looking at the trophy list. So I had already sought out to do that, and it paid off. It's a lot of fun. It seems like there's a lot of meat in the DLC as well. But I'm not sure I'm ready to jump in that just yet. So I'm taking a break, and I'm jumping out of one big game to jump into another. I am currently about 20 hours into Suikoden 2.
I don't know what that is.
It is a PS1 JRPG. I think there's three of them total. The second one has actually been hailed as one of the best JRPGs of all time, on a list of like 25 or 30 or something. Basically, if you go into Google and you type best JRPGs of all time, it'll pop up. that game physically, like a physical copy of the game, is like worth $250.
Holy shit.
Yeah. So it popped up on a digital sale on the PS3 for like $3. So I bought it, and I've been playing through it, and I never had a chance to play it before, and that game is awesome. I'm a big fan of JRPGs, and it's been a long time since I've gotten into a game, gotten into a JRPG that has held my attention for so long. You know, I really like the art style, that top-down, cartoony anime style, art style. It reminds me a lot of Chrono Trigger. I love the fact that you can have six members of party. I think that's great, because you can, you know, you can have like your three tanks, a really quick character, a range character, and then a magic character, and pretty much have the freedom to do whatever you want. So I think it's great. The story's awesome. It's in depth. A lot of characters in the game.
You're totally going to be the JRPG guy, because I legit fucking hate our JRPG games. I cannot stand the like system where it's like, attack, magic,
yeah.
like whatever, and it's like, I can't do it.
The turn-based?
I can't do it. I legit can't do it. That's why the only reason why I might get Final Fantasy 15, because like it looks kind of like Kingdom Hearts, and I like Kingdom Hearts, but I'm waiting on reviews on that game for sure, because there's no way I'm going to buy that game after it's been in development for all of like 15 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
and you know, play that and it'd be an RPG game, and me not really good at RPGs except for like Witcher and stuff.
Yeah, I did play the Platinum demo for Final Fantasy 15. It was really, really short.
Graphically,
it looks great. It plays a lot like Kingdom Hearts. It's funny you mention that, because as I was playing it the whole time, I was like, this is Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, that's why I kind of liked it. That's why I was like, I might buy this game, but I'm still like, I'm not sure on it. I'm very undecided. It depends on if I finish Watch Dogs 2 before it comes out.
Right. Yeah, I'm excited for that too. And it's funny because, you know, I like JRPGs, but there's a lot of them I haven't played, even the more popular ones, like Ni No Kuni on the PS3 was hailed by
critics. Inunana. Do you remember that?
They were like, what is that?
You don't remember that? Okay, never mind. It's an obscure reference from old podcast Beyond.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh,
throwback.
Yeah, throwback. Seriously.
Speaking of Beyond.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that.
Yeah. It's shout out. Shout out Podcast Beyond.
Podcast Beyond. Thanks for keeping it real.
Exactly. But yeah, there's a lot of them I haven't played, and so it's going to be fun going back and playing some of these. But they're just, you know, they're really long. I mean, there's a grind involved. That's with every JRPG. Like, there's that that fidelity of, like, you know, this massive story and tons of characters and the grind, and I enjoy that, you know, but I have to be in the mood, and I think that's why I'm really enjoying this game, because I got myself in the mood and then grinding through it. It's been a blast, so I'm excited to finish that one.
Cool.
But that's about it. That's what I'm playing.
So I wanted to talk about this on the first episode, but I don't want to talk about it too much today. I had been playing Mafia 3. But I played it for like 6 or 7 hours, and that is the most repetitive game I've ever played in my entire life, I think. That is, man, that game could have been so good. And the world is great, the characters are amazing, but it's literally, you go here, do this mission, go here, do this mission, go here, do this mission, and it's the same shit, like it never changes. And then even when it does change, it's still the same game, and the shooting's not really great, and it's just, I really, really could not get into that game. So I traded that in, and I bought Rise of the Tomb Raider. And Rise of the Tomb Raider was actually really fun. I honestly felt like it wasn't anything special. It really didn't feel like this amazing experience, but it is a year old now, so there is that. But I just was never like, this thing is so good. Like, it was a fun game that I enjoyed playing through, and I had a lot of fun with it, but once I finished it, I was like, okay, I'm done with this. I can totally put this away and not play it again, and maybe come back for some of that DLC that's on the disc once the patch for HDR comes out and stuff. But I finished that, had a lot of fun with it, and then I moved on to Battlefield 1, which came out on Tuesday, because I bought the early edition, and no, I didn't pay extra for it. I have Best Buy Reward Zone, so it's the same price for the early Lister's Edition as it is for as it is for the game normally. So because it's 20% off whenever you buy games at Best Buy, and that's not a shout out to that's not a an endorsement of Best Buy, but it's pretty cool to get games cheaper. But I'm playing a lot of Battlefield 1. It's really good. The campaign is honestly nothing special. It was cool. It did some really interesting stuff, but like if you're a guy who plays a lot of Call of Duty campaigns, the Call of Duty campaigns are still way better than anything Battlefield has. Basically, you play as these five different guys in World War One and kind of, you know, see their look, how they look at things, like kind of you deal with like their situations and stuff. And then it's literally probably, it might even not be 4 hours. It was that short, I think. But it's a cool game. The multiplayer is what I've been playing. I think I'm level 29. I have a maxed out support and a maxed out medic. But one thing I'm worried about with that game is it's great. Like, I love Battlefield games. I always love Battlefield 4. But this one I feel like is closest to, like, me not playing it that much, because not only because there's not as much upgrading and leveling up and stuff. Like, leveling up really does nothing for you, except if you're leveling up a class. But once you get to a class to 10, you have everything for it. But also because Titanfall 2 comes out on Friday, and that's going to eat my life away. I've already come to that conclusion, and I'm perfectly okay with it.
Yeah, Battlefield 1 looks incredible, in my opinion.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm really interested to see how they handle like that time period, because it is a war that has not been, you know, ever been.
Well, it's not realistic at all. There's a ton of automatic weapons, way more than there actually was in the real World War One. But the game's beautiful. Like, there's a lot to it. It's a really cool game, and I honestly don't think that anyone's done a better World War One game.
Right.
Than that. The problem is it's just, like, I don't know how much I'm going to play it, because EA does this thing with Battlefield that is absolutely disgusting, speaking of microtransactions. They do a $50 season pass. Granted, the game is $60, so the $50 season pass, and you get, like, four maps every two or three months, right? Well, what they do is the regular playlists start to play the special maps, you have to play that playlist for that map pack. And they don't integrate the map pack into the regular maps. So it's like, most people, the people who don't buy the season pass are just going to play the regular maps, and the people who do buy the season pass are just going to play the new maps. And it's just like, well, cool, you've just segregated your community so much so that it's stupid. And Call of Duty does this too. It's disgusting. That's the one thing I'm super excited about Titanfall. They've already said that every map that Titanfall ever comes out with will be completely free because there's in-game microtransactions. And I'm okay with in-game microtransactions as long as they're not game-breaking, where you get stuff better than someone else. Like, that stuff pisses me off a lot, actually. But, who knows? Next week, I'll talk a lot about Titanfall 2. I'm getting that, and I'm getting Xenoverse 2, actually, because I have so much trade-in credit.
Yeah, that was another thing that kind of concerned me, is, you know, were there going to be microtransactions inside Battlefield 1? Because I know when...
Oh, there is. There is. There's microtransactions in it, and there's a season pass. You can buy these boxes that give you skins for your guns. And I don't understand why you can't just buy the boxes that give you skins for the guns, and, you know, that be your microtransaction where you don't need to sell a season pass. I mean, most games don't do that anymore. A lot of shooters aren't doing that. The only ones that are doing it are COD and Battlefield. Overwatch, microtransaction doesn't, you know, all maps are free.
Right.
And Gears of War does it, too.
Yeah, Gears of War 4. Same thing with Rainbow Six Siege. They give you the maps free. And then, like, you can use in-game currency to unlock the operators, which is actually very, if you play the game often, it's very generous, actually. It's 25,000 renown to unlock an operator, which in retrospect is actually a lot, because, like, you can unlock, like, the original operators in the game, like, you know, you can unlock four or five of them. If not more, for the price of one DLC operator. But at the same time, it's a bit generous, because if you play the game enough and you're getting like the extra bonuses and stuff, you know, you're going to have enough renown to unlock those
operators. Man, I played that game so much when it came out.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I loved that game so much. That was probably my favorite multiplayer game of 2015. It was great.
I'm so glad you like it. I tried to sell that game to everyone I knew. I was like, go buy this game.
I think I got like level 60. And I only played like 3 or 4 characters every single time.
Well, that's all you need.
Yeah. That's an awesome game. I have one more game I've been playing, sorry. And then I got Gears 4. And I played through that campaign. Some cool shit goes on in that campaign, but it is totally another Gears game. So don't go into it thinking you're getting something brand new and different.
I don't want that.
It's totally another Gears game. And the multiplayer is still Gears. So if you, I'm not a big Gears multiplayer guy. I like the Horde mode, but it takes way too long to play a match of Horde mode. So I don't really do that a lot. But I mean, it's a cool game. It's beautiful. And they do some really cool stuff in that campaign that I really like, but it's totally just setting up another trilogy just like Halo 4 did. It's just way better than Halo 4 was, because Halo 4 is trash.
Yeah, I that's what I want. I want Gears. You know, Gears was never broken. Exactly. The net code in the multiplayer might have been janky, but I think we're getting in a time now where net code is far superior than it used to be. Just using fighting games as an example, Street Fighter V's net code was way better than it was when Vanilla 4 released. I remember playing on 360, and like I would practice my combos and training, and then I would go to like an online match, and the net code was so bad, like everything was delayed. I was like, you know, I'm having to like completely change the way I play because I have lag, you know, and it didn't matter the ping of my opponent. Like it was just always bad. But you know, we're kind of getting out of that now where connections are better. Internet services or internet providers are providing faster internet. The hardware and the consoles can run the internet better. You know, it's just, I don't know.
No, I completely agree with you. I understand where you're coming from. And that's the thing. One thing about this generation, before we get into our good news and bad news, is multiplayer games all have dedicated servers now. And I think that's like one of the best things about this generation is you have all these games now with dedicated servers. And I feel like it just makes multiplayer gaming 10 times better than it ever was.
Right. You know, going back to what I was saying, you know, I was a huge Gears fan. I played all three of them. Actually, the first Gears of War was the reason I got a 360. I got mine about 4 or 5 months before it released. I actually got Elder Scrolls Oblivion and Call of Duty 2. It was my first two 360 games I got. And then I got Gears. And every time a new Gears came out, I was getting it. Now, the one I didn't get was Judgment. Simply because at the time I didn't have the money and I had heard bad things
it's
about it.
It's a bad game. Don't play it.
Well, that's what everyone says. You know.
Nobody should want to play as Baird. He sucks. I have one question for you real quick. Have you played Dragon Quest Builders at all?
I played the demo.
What'd you think?
I really liked it. I thought it was interesting. You know, granted, from what I've heard, it's nothing like Dragon Quest, but, you know, the fact that they give you an action RPG or an action adventure type game with Minecraft, I think was great. Granted, Minecraft has some adventure elements in it, but you know, the fact that it's more catered to like the RPG anime fans, I think it's great. I like the fact that it's very quest oriented, you know, because in Minecraft, a lot of times it's so sandboxy to where it's like they drop you in this world and they're just like, okay, do whatever.
The only problem is it's still a grind. That was the one thing I noticed from that beta or demo I played.
Yeah, definitely. I noticed that too. But, you know, I think once you... the fact that they're putting this game on Vita, or that it is on Vita, or it's coming to Vita, isn't it?
It's on Vita right now.
Okay. The fact that it's on Vita, I think, does a lot of justice. Because, you know, grind games in general, I think, translate well on handhelds. I just talked to Troy and we did our episode of Trophy Horrors a little while ago. You know, he says he owns his Vita simply for JRPGs. Even when, like, if the Vita just dies and they stop making games for it, he will continue to use it for JRPGs because, you know, you're always on the road, always on the go. It's just the perfect system for that. So I really think this game's going to sell better on the Vita than it will consoles. I could be wrong, but it's going to be interesting to see the numbers either way. But I
may pick it up.
I really enjoyed it, and Yeah, definitely.
I
let my wife
play
it.
Once gaming dies down, because there's so many games right now, and
there's too many.
You know, honestly, once I play through Horizon Zero Dawn or Horizon Zero Dawn, I think maybe I'll need something like that as a palate cleanser, because Horizon Zero Dawn. Oh man, that game. I can't say anything, but that game. That thing is going to be. It's going to eat my life away. I already know it will.
Yeah,
and maybe
I'll
need like a little palate cleanser. So without further ado, you ready to get into the good news?
Let's get into some news.
I feel like we should ask the listeners. Would you prefer the good or the bad first? Tell us in the future, because we're going to do good first. But if you want the bad first next time, be sure to post on the Facebook page. Which is, what is it?
Facebook page is facebook.com/groups/thegoodthebadmicrotransactions.
Got it. Okay. So the first good news we got going on, well, is phenomenal news, actually. It's not just good. The teaser for Red Dead Redemption 2 came out this week. I honestly have no idea what it is, but it's more Red Dead, which is better than Grand Theft Auto. It's, in my opinion, Rockstar's best series. John Marston, the character of John Marston, is probably one of the best video game characters ever, not named Nathan Drake. I'm excited to see what they do with this one. The trailer, I don't know if you feel this way, the trailer kind of looks like maybe it's John Marston and his gang from Red Dead Redemption 1.
confession time. Never played Red Dead Redemption. Second confession, I own it on 360. It's in my house right
Stop
now.
Stop playing Suikoden. Play Red Dead Redemption.
I knew you were going to say that. It is on my backlog, and it is quickly becoming, you know.
So I can't talk about the ending. God damn you! I want to talk about the ending of it.
I know how it ends, though. That's the thing.
He gets shot up.
Yeah, the internet spoils everything.
I'm sorry, that game is really old. I'm sorry if I spoiled it for anyone, but like that's the thing. So here's the problem. What I'm worried about with this is it's called Red Dead Redemption 2, but hopefully it's like a new story with new characters, because I don't want to play through. If it's called Red Dead Redemption 2, I don't want to play through the past with when John Marston was in a gang.
Because
you know
the outcome.
Yeah, it's just like God of War Ascension. God of War Ascension was a cool idea, but it didn't do anything because I already knew that Kratos dies at the end of that thing. You know, of that. Sorry, I just spoiled another game. I spoiled God of War 3. Granted, him and Zeus die. I'm sorry, I'm spoiling every game this first episode. But like that's the thing. Like I didn't really care for Ascension, and that's the thing about prequels is if you know how the character's arc ends. Prequels don't really work. And that's what I'm hoping this is like a brand new gang of some sort in Mexico. A lot of people are looking at the trailer and the image, teaser image they put out and all that stuff. And they're like, totally, it looks like John Marston. But, I'm hopeful. No matter what, I'm going to buy it because, like I said, it's Rockstar's best series, in my opinion. I think there's no series they do better than Red Dead. It's just the go-to Western game for someone who really likes. I actually really like the West. I think it's really cool. The show Westworld, while it's not exactly that, it kind of has that kind of cool feel to it. Like there's nothing like the old West in video games. I think I miss when there was a lot more games. You remember Gun?
Yes, I do.
I remember Gun was just the coolest game. And yeah, it was so fun. I just wish they would make more Westerns, but,
How about Sunset Riders? Remember that game? That arcade game?
No, I remember Call of Juarez.
Yeah.
Bound in Blood. And the Call of Juarez Gunslinger, that was a good one.
God, I think Sunset Riders was like...
Is that the one with, like, early... people in it?
And it's a, it's like a 2D side-scrolling, like, shooter.
It's not live action, is it? No, that's Mad Dog McCree. Never mind.
Yeah, no. This was like, I think this was Capcom, Konami. God, I need to look it up now. I'll look it up in a little bit, confirm. But that game was neat, man. Yeah, we need more Westerns. So I'm really excited about this. I'm excited about experiencing Red Dead Redemption.
You need to, man. You need to.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. I love Rockstar. I love how they operate. I love the fact that this game went so long without a single thing being teased except maybe a map.
Yeah.
And, like, a sketch of a cowboy, you know? Like,
they did a phenomenal job of keeping this thing quiet. Like,
yeah, and they do with everything, and I love it, you know? Like, to be honest with you, I haven't liked a GTA since Vice City, but then I picked up 5 just on a whim. It was part of, like, a buy 2, get 1 free. I had a little extra money, so I went crazy. I got GTA 5, Bloodborne, and The Witcher 3. All great games. Probably some of my favorite games I've played in a long time.
Witcher 3 is one of the best games in the last 10 years, probably.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And what CD Projekt Red did with that is just amazing. And Cyberpunk 2077, or whatever it's called, is going to be supposed to be bigger than The Witcher. I can't wrap my head around that. I'm really excited about that. But yeah, I am looking forward to Red Dead Redemption 2, but...
You gotta play through Red Dead Redemption 1 first!
Yes, yes. But I would kill for a new Max Payne.
Like a new next-gen Max Payne. I do like Max Payne. I do not like Max Payne 1. It has not aged well, but I do like Max Payne.
It hasn't.
That game is very hard to play.
God, I remember that game being so cool. When
and
go
it's
back
hard
and
as
it,
hell.
Like,
it's yeah. So hard, it's not even funny. But let's move on to some more good news.
Good news. Number 2, Sony president of Worldwide Studios, Shuhei Yoshida, has confirmed the news on Twitter, writing, "I've waited a very long time to say this. The Last Guardian has gone gold. I'm so excited for you all to finally experience it. Development on The Last Guardian is reportedly complete. It looks like the game will finally make its December 6th release date, despite being delayed again when it was originally set to release on October 25th due to the game's developers encountering more bugs than anticipated, as stated in a recent report by Yoshida."
I'm going to quote StarCraft 2 real quick. "Hell, it's about time." It's pretty good, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I liked it. Nice outlaw voice you had going there.
That's what he is. It's a Marine from that game. He's kind of got like a nice accent to him. I don't know if I'm going to buy this. I'm so glad it's finally coming out for people who really want it. If it scores like 9s and 10s, I'll totally buy it and just see what the hubbub is about. But I'm not really big on Ico.
Do you think this game will score a 9 or 10?
I think at best it's an 8, personally. But I don't like Ico or Shadow of the Colossus. When they gave a Shadow of the Colossus free on PS Plus, I turned it on. I played it for a little bit, and I was like, ooh, this is rough. I don't know what the hell's going on.
It's crazy, because everyone I speak to that played that game post-PS2 didn't get into it. I played the game when it came out on PS2. When it came out on the PS2, that game was incredible. Personally, one of my favorite games of all time. Now, this is a list of like 20 or 30. I don't know. It's all in my head. I don't have it written down. What do you want from me? But Shadow of the Colossus, in my opinion, was just, it was fantastic, you know? Like, it was just something mysterious about it, you know? It was, your loved one passes, and so you go to the gods for help, and the gods are like, you know, we will restore her life, but you have to do this for us. You have to go out in the land and kill these 16 colossi. It's just such a neat concept.
But there's no fucking, like, map or anything to know where the hell I'm supposed to be going.
Well, you lift your sword and the light, like, points you in the direction to go. And then you run towards that direction.
Yeah, the game doesn't explain that very well.
Yeah, it doesn't explain that. I knew that from watching, like, demos and stuff on, like, X-Play on G4 TV, maybe. I think that's where I found out about the game. Because, you know, when it came out, it was highly praised.
It was huge. It was huge. And I was just like, I think I was still playing through Kingdom Hearts 1.
Yeah. But, you know, games have changed so much since its release, and control schemes have gotten better. You know, I talked to Daryl a while back, who he finally got a chance to play it, and he said, you know, the game's really neat. it is a little dated, but the controls are very clunky. Like, he couldn't stand the controls. And I believe from what he was describing, like, the controls were inverted, and I don't think you can change them.
Yeah, they are. I remember that from when I played it.
And I don't remember that. I guess because, you know, at the time I didn't care because I was just having such a blast playing the game.
Ico plays like that too, and I couldn't play Ico.
Yeah, I couldn't really get into to Ico, however you say it. But Last Guardian, I am cautious about this game. I have been excited about this game since it was announced 10 years ago. I remember seeing screenshots in like a PlayStation magazine, maybe. I was super hyped, you know, and it kept getting pushed, And I'm on the same boat as probably every Shadow of the Colossus fan out there. Like, we wanted a true sequel to Shadow of the Colossus. Last Guardian could have been that. But it's on its way to disappoint us all. And, you know, would really...
You think so? You think it'll really disappoint people that bad? Like, No Man's Sky level disappointment? It's okay. You know, it's a good game, but it's not a great game.
Well, the thing that Last Guardian has going for it, I think, is the fact that it's more discreet, more secretive than like No Man's Sky. Because No Man's Sky was like, every week this game was in your face. It's going to have this, it's going to have that. The game came out and, you know...
I didn't hate that game, by the way. I thought it was an okay game. I thought it was fun for a little bit, but once that game gets, No Man's Sky, once you get tired of it, you're tired of it, and you walk away, you're done. Yeah. That's one thing about it, and I think that's the thing about this, like, why this won't be as bad, because it's, like, it's very, you know, you play through it, you see the beautiful world, and then you're done. But what I'm hearing is that it might have PS2 graphics.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like...
With those kind of characters, you need a beautiful world.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, the atmosphere, it looks beautiful. To be honest with you, I could care less how the game actually looks. Granted, I expect it to be on, if it's on the PS4, it's a Sony Interactive Studio game, it should look good.
It should be a good game, though, too. If making people wait this long, it should at least be a good game.
Yeah, yeah, that's my thing. Like, I said from the beginning, like, if Last Guardian comes out and it takes assets from Eco, like the puzzle solving and the running around, the platforming aspects, I don't think it's going to be as successful. But if it's more like boss battles and just, you know, epic moments like in Shadow of the Colossus, I think it would do better.
I hope it does good. I honestly, yeah. I'm really like... For people who are hype on this game, I hope it's good. Because I'm not going to buy it unless it scores high. Just because I'm not super interested in it. But I'd love to, like... If it's a good game, I'd love to rent it and play through it and just, you know, experience the world and the beauty and the characters. But, I mean... It's cool it's coming out. I'm super glad Sony finally got it out. That's one less thing we have to talk about with that anymore. And we can get focused on the real game, which are, like, Spider-Man, Horizon, God of War. I mean... There's so much coming out. Days Gone. Like, Sony has so many huge exclusives coming. And it's about time that this is finally off their chest and they can focus on better games. If it's bad, it's good that it's gone. It's done. We don't have to talk about it anymore. And that's kind of like the nice thing. Are you going to buy it when it comes out, by the way?
You know, to be honest with you, I had it pre-ordered. Funny enough, I had it pre-ordered. I had like half of it paid off, and they ended up delaying it again.
When they delayed it to December?
Yeah, and I think that's when I took my pre-order off.
Well, let's do this. If any of you guys play The Last Guardian, because I don't know if either of us are going to buy it, please let us know what you think about it on like for launch day. Or if you're hype on Launch Guardian, tell us about why you're hype for it. Because I don't really know a ton about it other than it's about a boy and a dog bird.
Bird dog.
But you know, we're things that don't have bird dogs in them, or can have bird dogs in them for that matter. Nintendo games, and that was more of a tricky segue. I'm sorry,
that was a bad segue.
Sorry, but you know, like Nintendo does like cartoon characters, and bird dog is like a cartoon character. Anyway, the Nintendo Switch was revealed this week, and it looks pretty neat. They revealed it with no names of any games, but in the video they showed, it showed a Mario Kart game, that Zelda game that we all know about, and then a new Mario game that looks maybe like Galaxy 3, possibly.
I hope so.
If they make a Galaxy 3, I'll buy this thing, no matter what. Especially
If it's Sunshine 2, I'm going to be pissed.
Fuck Sunshine, that game's terrible.
That game sucked.
I'm worried that Breath of the Wild is going to be like... Majora's Mask. Ugh, God, that's the worst game. Majora's Mask is so trash. Like, I don't think people realize how bad that game is until they actually go back and
there
play
are
it.
So many Zelda fans that adore that game, and I'm like, okay, I get it. It's neat. It was
different.
It's
like
it
Temple of Doom. It's like Temple of Doom. You know how Temple of Doom is really different than the last the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Majora's Mask is the Temple of Doom of the Zelda series, but at the same time, Temple of Doom was good, and Majora's Mask wasn't. You know what I'm going with that?
Yeah, I couldn't get into Majora's Mask.
I'm
I had it on a...
Hamnam Shaba. That's what it is, right? Sorry, I'm continuing. I'm fucking with you.
I'm trying to think of the chant he does.
It's Hamnam Shaba.
Yeah, yeah.
Hamnam Shaba, Hamnam Shaba, Hamnam Shaba, Hamnam Shaba, Hamnam Shaba.
Yeah. Oh, man, I gotta watch those movies now. Why'd you do that?
Fucking wait till they make the sixth one, or fifth one, or whatever it's called. What's weird is I don't hate the one with the aliens that much. I think it's not a great movie looking back on it, but I don't hate it. Like, some people are just like, it's fucking terrible. But I also don't hate the Star Wars prequels. Anyway,
yeah,
go
I
back
did,
to...
I didn't either.
The Switch. So this thing's pretty cool. Obviously, it's not going to be, like, graphically intensive, and that's pretty obvious, it seems. Yeah. But it's basically the next generation of the 3DS with the Wii, it seems like. They're not going to do, you know, one 3DS and one Wii console. Everything's going to be this Switch, which is cool. The only problem is it really doesn't add to the fact that... Nintendo really doesn't do graphically intensive games, because some of their games look good. It's cool that they're going to do third-party support on this thing. It looks like Skyrim is one of the things in that trailer, I think.
I think
it's Skyrim.
Yeah.
It looks like Skyrim.
We have something to announce when it comes to Skyrim. Unfortunately, it's in our bad news.
Oh, it is? Okay. apparently, close sources from both Ubisoft and internal Nintendo division, as reported from Laura Kate Dale of Let's Play Video Games, have described the battery life of Nintendo Switch Portable as mediocre and only lasts around 3 hours. Oh, that's bad news. Sorry. My bad. Sorry. You have it all written this way. I'm sorry. My bad.
That is bad news, though.
Yeah, that is bad news. We're going to get to that, though. It's going to affect sales of 3DS, obviously. It's cool. I think it's a cool idea. Is it going to keep someone from buying an Xbox? What the fuck it's called? Scorpio or a PS4 Pro? Like, I'm all in on the PS4 Pro. I want a better PS4 to play my games, and my games look better and run better. Like, I'm all in on that thing. Because, I already need another PS4 because my fiance wants her own. But, like, I don't think this thing is going to be something I buy versus, you know, over a PS4 Pro or a Scorpio. I think it's like it's another gimmick console. You know, Nintendo's really good at gimmicks. But it's neat. It does some cool stuff. I don't like the little... They switch off the controller and they have this little tiny little pad in their hands. I got big hands, man. I can't hold that stupid little pad.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that's something we can touch base on in our news, I guess. But Nintendo has announced that, you know, they are first and foremost focusing on the Switch being a home console first. And, you know, in the trailer it showcases, like, there's like a Pro controller, right? Very similar to the Pro controller that released for like the Wii U and Wii, which was like button wise was great, but it was cheap plastic and they still charge you like $50 for it. It was outrageous. I mean, that thing was made out of just paper mache, man. It wasn't good. But the button layout was fine. And I remember playing like Smash 4 with it, and I'm like, why can't Nintendo just release console with this control? And then they showcased the trailer
because gimmicks, Switch.
Because gimmicks. But you know, sometimes gimmicks becomes innovation. And Nintendo
VR is a gimmick, but it looks really cool, and I wish I had one.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like everyone. You know, is labeling the Switch gimmicky. Not all gimmicks are bad, you know?
Yeah, no, but it's a cool gimmick. I like what it's doing. I'm not completely sold on it, I think. Like, I like it a lot. It comes about, apparently, March 2017. I like it a lot, but I'm not sold on it. I need to know what the launch lineup of games, what kind of games are coming out. They're saying, Nintendo's apparently saying, you know, that the games are going to be, you know, the best launch lineup they've ever had, all this stuff. And, you know, it's cool, but I just don't know, like, what the price point's gonna be. Like, why do I need this? You know, like, I'm not, they're not really giving me a reason that I need this. I'm not gonna bring this to to parties like the fucking trailer says. I can just imagine that girl walking up in the trailer with her Nintendo, and they're like, oh God, it's that weird Kate girl again, fucking bringing her Nintendo out to party. Sorry, we like to be outside and socialize. We're talking to each other, you stupid bitch. Like, I could totally imagine that going through the girls' heads in that. It's like, you know, like, it's a cool thing, but, you know, like, is it really gonna work that well on the airplane and all that stuff? Like, the proof is in the pudding. I think Nintendo can do it. I think they totally can do what exactly what they're showing in it, but I'm not sold on it. I don't know if you are sold on it or anything.
To be honest with you, when the Wii U came out, I felt like that's what the Wii U should have done. And if it would have done that, it probably would have sold better, I guess. I don't think, but at the same time, it could have tanked horribly, kind of like the Wii U did. But I think this time, you know, that they're showing us that they have more third-party support than they did before. They have better hardware. They have, you know, they're gonna have better processing power and, you know, better chip in there. And, cause, you know, advertising, they had the Nvidia Tegra or whatever it's called. You know, it's a little over my head, but essentially they're letting us know, look, this is gonna have some power to it. It's gonna, you know, you're going to be able to play some of your favorite titles on this console, and it's not gonna disappoint you.
And that's
But at the same
cool,
time,
but
yeah.
it's like I don't really play games away from home, start off, and I already have an Xbox and a PlayStation 4 that I play all my third-party games on. Especially, I don't even buy third-party games from Xbox. I only buy first-party games for the Xbox, and that's what I do with the Switch. I'd only buy first-party games for it. And you know, if I'm, I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird thing because, like, I like what it's doing. I think it's cool, but like, there's nothing that's telling me, oh, I definitely need this in my living room or my bedroom, you know?
And I think that's where Nintendo really has to step in and take reins of like the its first party titles and come out the gate swinging. And I think releasing Zelda Breath of the Wild is a fantastic idea because you know the Wii really didn't have that at launch. They had a another 2D Mario game, which was okay. You know, I played it, beat it. It was Mario. It was fun, but it wasn't. You know, I didn't come crawling back for more. You know, there was Assassin's Creed Black Flag, which had already been out for 8 months to a year. There was Batman Arkham City, which had already been out, you know, long before that, and ran better on other consoles. so, you know, Wii U didn't have that. Now the Switch is coming out at launch. It's going to have Zelda Breath of the Wild, which could quite
Looks really cool.
possibly, yeah, it could quite possibly be a contender for Game of the Year.
I don't know, dude. Horizon Zero Dawn comes out next year.
It does.
Oh my
Remember
God, that game. I can't say anything.
that? Don't say anything. Embargo.
I know. I'm embargoed on that game.
But you know, I have high hopes for it. As long as they can come out and say, you know, we have a new Metroid title coming out. We have Donkey Kong coming out. Kirby's coming out with a bigger, better adventure.
Not
Yoshi's
yarn.
gonna, not yarn crap.
A real 3D Kirby game, yeah. No, I that'd be really cool. But the problem I have with that is, I just don't know if I want to buy another console. You know, just for Nintendo games. Like, yes, I love Nintendo exclusive games, but I mean, Breath of the Wild. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm not a huge Zelda fan. Like, I played Ocarina of Time, but some of those puzzles, they don't make no goddamn sense to me. Like, some of those puzzles are just like, how do I know this? Like, how am I able to figure this out without a guide? Like, that's how I felt about some of the puzzles in Twilight Princess.
I got you. Sounds like you got a little frustrated at the water temple there.
Oh my God, don't get me started on that. But like, that's the thing is, like, I love Mario games. Like, I love Galaxy and Galaxy 2. Like, those games are phenomenal
So
games.
good, so good.
So good. So if they make like a Super Mario universe, then you know, maybe I'll think about it. But obviously they have a long way to go. Like, this is just the announcement. They need to tell us, you know, ASAP what kind of games are gonna come with this, all that stuff. And I mean, obviously, you know, getting into the bad news. It seems like, you know, I think they know that. And following the announcement of Nintendo Switch, Nintendo's stock actually dropped 6.55%. When the company initially announced their plans to reveal a new home console, their stock rose 3%, but the reveal itself sent their stocks falling down. And do you think that's because they didn't show like what games are coming with it, or like what's actually going to be there at launch, or you think it's just because this thing's another gimmick?
I think it's a little of everything. Even after the hype of the Switch reveal, Nintendo seems to be going media silent once again. According to a report from Takashi Mochizuki of the Wall Street Journal, Nintendo has stated not to expect any more announcements related to its games or specs this year. So yeah.
It's also not going to play 3DS or Wii U discs, so no backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Which sucks.
I can imagine them going strictly digital with that. But that would also require us to buy our games twice.
And a big hard drive.
Yeah. Not to mention, you know, a lot
much
of
much bigger than the garbage that the Wii U came with, by the way. If that thing was like, I think it was like 50 gigs was what the default came with. Which is disgusting.
If you're lucky.
It was disgusting what the Wii U came with. I don't know what it was, but it was so gross. It was so gross. And then the thing you mentioned too about the battery life too. So, you know, look, all this stuff you're saying, you know, is this why?
Could be. You know, they want to believe in Nintendo. You know, if you look back when Pokemon Go was released, you know, Nintendo's stock rose pretty substantially. But then Nintendo came out and said, look, we only own like 30% of the Pokemon company. You know, we give them the right to put their games on our consoles and stuff, but we don't like ultimately own the Pokemon company. And so their stocks dropped. And I can't remember how much they actually dropped, but and here we are now. You know, we've come full circle and the Switch is finally revealed and the stocks dropped again. Now, I don't know if that's like just because Nintendo waited so long, because yeah, I think this console is coming out in March. That's not that far away. We waited a long time to get a look at it. They finally reveal it, and then they go silent again, you know? And you got this representative here from the Wall Street Journal asking Nintendo, like, well, hey, what's the deal? And Nintendo's like, nope, not telling you a thing. Not until 2017. Not until 3 months before we actually release the console.
And then the news with Bethesda we were talking about earlier, apparently, like, they haven't even confirmed that Skyrim's actually coming to the thing. Right?
Yeah, I feel a little burned by that. Now, granted, everyone's
weird.
Up
Why
in
would
arms.
You put that in the video then?
Yeah, well, you know, we have a Skyrim remaster coming out, which is kind of cool.
But Skyrim remaster isn't coming to the Wii U? Or the, I assume I'm calling it the Wii U. The Wii Switch or whatever it's called?
Well, we don't know yet. And that's the thing. You know, they came out and said, you know, we're happy to have opportunity to collaborate with Nintendo on the video. While we are not confirming any specific titles at this time, we are pleased to announce our partnership with Nintendo and support the Switch. We look forward to revealing specific games and details in the future.
I bet there's a new Elder Scrolls game coming soon. Honestly, that could be with that, but that has something to do with it. But that said, like, we don't know what's going to be on this thing except for like a guaranteed game is Breath of the Wild, and you know, is Zelda enough to sell this thing right now? I mean, I feel like this is a conversation we have to talk about later when there's more games announced, of course. But you know, this is how they revealed this thing. There's only one confirmed game that we know about on this thing, like that's an actual game
right.
that people have played.
Now, the president of the Pokemon Company, his name escapes me, actually announced a while back that there will be a Pokemon game. He has plans to put a Pokemon game on what at the time was called the NX. So, with the Switch announced now, we have Zelda, and if we have a Pokemon game announced, I do feel like those two games alone could at least help push the sales of the Switch more so than the Wii U did. Because, like I said earlier, the Wii U didn't have this awesome title at launch. You know what I'm saying? It was another 2D Mario game, a couple of okay third party titles, not calling Arkham City okay by any means. I thought it was a great game, but it had already been out for how long?
Yeah, it had been almost a year, I think.
Right. And so, you know, people were wanting, like, people don't usually buy Nintendo for third parties.
I have a confession to make, by the way. I don't like Pokemon at all. I think it's really stupid.
And that's fine, you know? Like, I haven't been in Pokemon in years. I like the fact that it still sells. I like the fact that they help Nintendo in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, like, seriously, if they didn't have Pokemon, I think Nintendo would be in a lot of trouble than they, you know, already are.
You can thank them for possibly single-handedly selling 40 million 3DS units or whatever.
And see, and I had a 3DS that I had gotten for free from a friend, and I got Pokemon. I was like, oh, I really like Pokemon Blue and Red as a kid. And so I bought, black version or whatever it was called, I think. Was it black and white? Those were the ones on the 3DS. And I bought black because, I don't know, that's my color, my soul, I don't know. And so, emo, I bought it, and I was like, this isn't fun. Like, I don't enjoy this. This isn't a good game to me. And I took it back. You know, I wasn't into it. And I'm not into Pokemon anymore, and I couldn't get into it. But it's cool that it's there. I mean, I'm glad it's a thing that helps Nintendo, but I just feel like Nintendo's is just so behind on the times, it's not even funny. Like, PlayStation rules the world right now, and you can't argue with me that it doesn't. You know, if you look at stat lines for Battlefield 1, which is the biggest, newest multiplayer shooter, 300,000 people are always on PS4, while only 130,000 are on PC and 160,000 are on Xbox One. That's double. Both, there's more people on right. PS4 than there is on PC and Xbox One combined. That's insane for one game. And that's crazy. PS4 rules the world. And there's nothing that's telling me that that's going to change with the Switch. There's nothing that's telling me. You know, and it may be cool. The Switch is cool. It's a gimmick. It's like the Wii. Everyone wants to go out and buy it and play fucking Wii tennis or Switch tennis or whatever the hell they want to call it. Switch baseball. All that crazy Switch shit with sports. The Wii. Switch sports, you know. I'm sure there'll be a pack-in game. But it's like, I'm not enthralled by this thing. It's cool and I think it's neat, but it's nothing I'm, like, completely sold on or anything like that.
There's no doubt. You know, PlayStation's still on top. I think it'll be that way for a while. It's funny you're mentioning, like, numbers, because, you know, I was looking up some numbers earlier, and for the third month in a row, the Xbox One managed to outsell the PlayStation 4, which, hats off to them. You know, they are.
I think it's because everyone already has a PlayStation 4.
that could be possible.
I think that's what it is. Honestly, I bought it. I bought an Xbox because I already had one. You know, but there is like no exclusive games on PlayStation 4 that are worth having. I think maybe Last Guardian might change that a little bit, but I don't know what kind of effect that's going to have. I think PSVR is going to change it for this month, which we'll get into in our main topic, of course. Right. But the thing is, I think it makes sense what's happening right now.
Right.
With that.
And, you know, according to VGCharts.com, the PS4 has sold over 43 million units. The Xbox One sits at 22.
Holy shit.
And that's, you know, that's
slightly more than double.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's a little less than the original Xbox, so.
Wild. That's wild.
But, you know, they've outsold them, you know, 3 months in a row. But I think it's interesting that, you know, you read websites and stuff that mention Xbox outselling PS4 3 months in a row, and everyone's like, oh, they're making a turnaround. That is true. Yeah. They're
everyone
doing
already
better.
Has a PS4, though.
Hats off. The Scorpion is going to be a powerful system. It's going to be a great system.
It's going to be expensive as fuck.
Yeah, and they're going to have titles coming out that, you know,
every game has to work on Xbox One and Scorpio. Keep that in mind. So they're going to have to I think it's a bad Scorpio's a bad idea, cuz you're going to have this console that costs arguably, I think it's going to cost at least $600. And then games are going to have to run on both the regular Xbox One and, cuz you're not going to have exclusive titles for just the Scorpio. You know, at least with the PS Pro it makes a little bit of sense. It's just it's all, you know,
Do you think the Scorpio is going to be $600?
Oh yeah, there's no point in owning a Scorpio. I'd honestly just say buy a PC if you already have an Xbox One. Personally, that's what I believe. But I'm buying a PS4 Pro because I want a more powerful PS4. So, you know, whatever with that. But I don't know. I think that's something obviously we'll talk about more as we get farther along. But the Switch is cool. I'm not in on it. I want to know more, and I'm sure we'll know more, you know, early next year. So we're going to go to a quick break. We're going to come back, talk a little bit about some PSVR, which I think none of us own, actually, which is sort of weird.
Awkward.
Hey, you know, Frosty, I really want a PSVR, but I'm, like, super lazy, and I don't want to leave my house, and I want it delivered to my house so I can sit around and play Battlefield 1 and not move, you know?
Well, I know exactly what you mean.
But, like, where do I go to get something like this? Like, where can I go? I don't want to go to Best Buy and walk in. I don't want to have them tell me, oh, you know, you should get this instead. I want to just buy what I want and have it shipped to my house. What should I do?
Tell you where you go, Nasty Nate. You go to ProvingGamer.com. You go to the Amazon link on the ProvingGamer.com. You click on it. And what you can do is you can do all your shopping through ProvingGamer.com. Now, this doesn't cost you any extra, but it does help the site out tremendously. Helps generate a few bucks to the site. Amazon kicks back a few dollars Proving Gamer's way and allows us to put out extra content for you guys, like podcasts, like this one.
Oh, like the good, the bad, and the microtransactions. I really like that podcast. It's really interesting.
Yeah, they're all right.
Man, I'm going to go to Amazon and buy everything now. Thanks, Frosty.
Anytime. Oh, hello. Didn't see you there. I was too busy wrecking fools in Street Fighter V. You're probably asking yourself, Frosty, how are you so goddarn good at Street Fighter V? Well, I'll tell you how. Fightstick Guy. That's right. Go to facebook.com/fightstickguy for custom handcrafted arcade-style fight sticks for you fighting game enthusiast. Every fight stick is made 100% to your liking with interchangeable parts. If you want a custom-made fight stick to work on your Xbox 360, PS3, PS4, Xbox One, PC, or all of the above, this is the guy to see. Whether you want an awesome fight stick with Chun-Li on the front, with buttons that light up, or you want a fight stick with Macho Man Randy Savage wrestling a bear at night, this guy can make it happen. Again, that's facebook.com/fightstickguy, because you don't bring a pad to a stick fight.
So PlayStation VR has been out for 2 weeks now. I think 2 weeks, right? 2 weeks?
I'm losing track of time.
I had one pre-ordered originally. I actually had to cancel one when my PS4 Pro got announced because I wanted to buy one of those instead. I made my choices. I have to live with them. And I honestly, I want to get one. But there's some things that I want to say about it specifically. Like, there's some great-looking games for it, but there's way too many cords from what I've heard. Like, I've heard the hookup on that thing is insane. And that said, PlayStation VR is definitely a gimmick. It's a total gimmick.
Totally. It doesn't mean it's a bad gimmick.
No, it's not a bad thing at all. The one thing I like about PSVR specifically is the games are still funky. Like, there's not a lot of games that are, like, feel like they're tailor-made to VR where, like, everything is, like, a killer app VR game. Like, there's nothing like that. Like, Riggs looks cool. That Batman game looks cool. Battlezone looks cool. Eve Valkyrie looks cool. They all look really cool. They're, like, games I'd love to play. But there's nothing I'm like, oh, I gotta have a VR for that, you know? And right. I'm thinking maybe Robinson the Journey will be that game. Because it's made by the same guys who made Crysis, and Crysis is actually a pretty good game. But a lot of people, you know, aren't sold on it. And, you know, rightfully so. I mean, $500 for VR is expensive. And then, right. Not only that, you have all these cords all of a sudden. All over your room, you know, or all over your entertainment center. Which seems super annoying. And then, there's a problem sometimes with the rooms. Because it's using old technology. Sorry, I'm kind of rambling about it. It uses old technology. The lights don't see the camera properly if the room's well lit or different things like that. So, have you heard a lot of that stuff?
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, when PSVR was first announced, I was, I'd seen a couple of like screenshots and maybe like a short teaser trailers for some of the games. I wasn't quite sold on it. The more I hear about it, and the more I see, I'm really intrigued. I would love to own one. But the problem with VR right now, eventually it is going to be the a new way to play games. But you know, the perfect way I've heard it explained is like, you know, VR right now in the stages and now is like the Atari, you know.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you. I think there's going to be way more advancements on VR, and I don't think this is the final version of PSVR. I think there's going to be a new version, and it's going to be much better, less cords, you know, less dealing with bullshit. This is the perfect way for someone who really wants to be an early adopter of VR to jump in. I think that PSVR is awesome, and it does so much you know, for the gaming industry, I think, because it's affordable VR for people. You don't have to pay $800 to $1,000, or support Palmer Luckey for that matter, because that guy is a monster and a horrible person. But that's besides the point. You know, you can try out games, see what you like. That said, you know, Vive is more expensive because there's a lot more experiences for it. You can go on the Steam store and you can see the craziest shit. There's this thing called Rec Room, which is completely free, that does so much cool stuff. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. If you've never heard of it, you need to look it up. There's a VR game called The Accountant. I think it's actually a VR experience. But if you've never heard of it, you just need to watch the fucking trailer. It's made by the guys who make the show Rick and Morty.
Okay.
And it's the most wild shit you'll ever see.
I think I've heard of it, but yeah, I've heard that VR is really neat. You know, I really want to get my hands on it just to try it. I do feel like in some essence it is the wave of the future. You know, they are ushering in a new way to play video games, which we've really needed for a long time.
But I don't like the idea of that theater mode. Like, I don't want to be forced to use that theater mode for every game.
Yeah. I get that. The wires, I think, is a bit much. The price point maybe is a bit much. I feel like, you know, this. I've said this before on Trophy Horse, that the PSVR is like an innovative toy for rich gamers. like if you have the money to spare, which is a ridiculous phrase for me to even utter. if you have $400 just sitting in your wallet and you want to blow it on something, get a PSVR, because a lot of the games, you know, right now, they are experiences. There are no like lengthy AAA titles. I hear a lot of the games are actually selling at a price point of like $20, you know, which is very affordable for a game, but at the same time, they're not very long games.
Yeah.
So you're playing, you know, these short $20 games, tech demos basically, on a $400 system. And then you have, you know, the wire issues and the wire clutter and the motion sickness, you know, because there are people that get motion sickness. In fact, Daryl from Remember the Loot has admitted multiple times that he can't ride roller coasters. He gets super motion sick. you know, then again, there are also like restrictions with like the PS camera, which concerns me. You know, like I own a PS camera, but I use it for like streaming. So it'd be interesting to like to be so restricted with the PS camera, you know, I guess see the difference between that and like the Oculus, which uses better technology. With like the isn't Oculus the one that uses the essentially the cameras you put in like the corners of your room, and it basically puts you like in a laser grid, so you have a little bit more freedom. Is that the Oculus or is that the Vive?
I don't have to answer back on that. I don't know that one.
Okay, I believe it's Oculus. But then again, I mean, you're also paying $600 for an Oculus, even though it looks better. But the PSVR is supposed to be more comfortable. I don't know. VR is also still so very new. Like I said, you know, we're kind of in like the Atari phase of it right now. But eventually, I think VR is going to get to a phase where it's Nintendo, Super Nintendo. You know, up to PS2, PS3, PS4 in the years to come. And I think it's going to be great to see that. I think it's going to be neat. But as far as it like selling two separate things, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it'd be weird to have a PS4 and a PSVR and be torn between the two. You know what I'm saying? Because like I'm so heavily invested in my PS4. I don't think there's anything wrong with my PS4, you know? I think it's a perfect system the way it is. I just need titles. Just give me more games. And at the end of the day, that's what gamers want. We want more games.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I like what a lot of VR games are doing, but I want more games, of course. But when games like Battlefield 1 and you know, Titanfall 2 are coming out, I'm not going to spend money on VR experiences or any of that stuff. And one thing I think Sony should do, because now VR is such a big thing, I think that they should get rid of free PS3 titles, and instead they should give a free PSVR experience and or game every month. That way people are more likely to buy PSVR.
That's an interesting idea.
I think that it'd be really cool. Just because, you know, that would make me maybe want to go up and buy a VR if I was like, oh, cool, I have like Eve Valkyrie and some stuff on my backlog. You know, maybe if I ask for this for Christmas or I have some extra money laying around. You know, that kind of stuff. Then I'd be more likely to get it, obviously. But it's just not for me right now. I really want to try it. Like, I'd love to try it if I had some extra cash. But right now, it's just not worth it to me. But I do love what it's doing. I love, like, this cool, different way to play video games. But at the same time, I still want to just sit in my lounge chair, turn my TV on, and sit around with my controller in my hand. I don't want to put a big headset on or any of that stuff, you know?
Right. And I think ultimately that, you know, even going back to Nintendo Switch, that's what gamers want, you know. It's going to be interesting to see, like, how many people go out and buy a Pro Control when the Switch is announced, simply because they just want a freaking controller, a normal controller to play.
I don't want to buy PS Move controllers. I don't like them. I think they're not great, personally, you know? But, you know, I think it'll be cool to see where it goes. I think that's going to be something that's really interesting. Obviously, neither of us have bought one, but I'd love to see where PSVR goes in the coming years. I think there's a lot to it. There's a lot to like. But, you know, we don't know yet. We won't know for a little bit. But
I don't have one simply for two reasons. One, financially, and two, like, I was told to wait from multiple sources that are like raving about VR. They're like, this thing's great, but you should probably wait.
Yeah, exactly. You should wait. And if you're on the fence about PSVR and you're listening for our opinion, which is sort of weird, but hey, I totally agree. You should wait. We're all waiting. You know, it's a really cool thing, but there's nothing that's making me want to go out and buy it. I'm glad Sony's supporting it. Like, Sony created this affordable version of it that, you know, I actually really would like to try. But, you know, for now, there's nothing yet. I think there will be stuff. It's just going to take a little bit of time. But I'm excited for the future of that, actually, really.
Yeah, me too. If you're listening, we greatly appreciate it. Via iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe. It'll, you know, help boost our popularity, get our name out there. We'd greatly appreciate that. Be sure you visit provengamer.com for news, previews, and podcasts. Let us know what you think about PSVR and Nintendo Switch. You can email us at GBM, as in the good, the bad, and the microtransactions.
There we go.
At provengamer.com. You can also hit us up on our Facebook, facebook.com/groups/thegood, the bad, and the microtransactions. It's quite a mouthful. So you can go to our Facebook group, be a part of the discussion. Let us know what you think about PSVR, Nintendo Switch, and anything else. Leave us questions, any feedback. We'd greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, thank you. We really appreciate it. If you enjoy listening to us, be sure to let us know. I mean, like, we want to keep doing this, but, you know, if we're terrible, we'd like to know. You know, obviously, we want to know what you think, if we can do to improve it, you know, what's good, what's bad, and what's microtransactions, you know.
Nate, where can they find you?
I'm at, my Twitter handle is Godly Fatality, Godly Fatality. I had a brain fart there for a minute. And then my PlayStation name is also that same thing, without the at symbol. So if you want to play games, hit me up. I'm totally down to play some video games. I'm usually on playing pretty a lot of video games right now, just because my job is I'm kind of in transition between jobs. Because I'm moving to Washington in actually, God, 3 months. So, but anything else, Frosty? Is that it?
Well, you can find me on the PSN. You can find me on the Twitter at MGS_Daniel25. You can also find me on Proving Gamer. Frosty@ProvingGamer.com is my email. You can hit me up. Go to Proving Gamer and check out our news and press releases. Me and shout out to Jerry Young. We've been staying on top of it pretty regularly, trying to present content and news for you guys. There's going to be a lot of news coming up. Proven Gamer will be going to PAX East in March. Trophy Horrors might even make an appearance. So be sure you go to PAX, leave some love and all that jazz. But that is it.
Without further ado, you've been listening to The Good, The Bad, and The Microtransactions. And we'll see you later, cowpokes.
See you guys next time, cowpokes.
Yeah, you gotta stick with the theme.